This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to another edition of the Five Star Zone. Rico Beard, Hal Shelton, Senior Research Manager from the Big Ten Network. Kind enough to join me once again. Harold, it's that time. It's tournament time. Conference tournament time. And just kind of looking at some numbers. I guess I don't think it's overly simplistic to say that Purdue should be the favorite. They've been the best team throughout the whole thing. They won the conference outright. I will simply say this, and I brought it up before. I know, you know, Matt Painter, and this is sacrilegious to Purdue and their fans. Harold, I'm just going to ask to say the quiet part out loud. Should Purdue really just focus on the NCAA tournament and not really try as hard to win this tournament?
I'll say they don't need to play their main guys a ton of minutes. I think if you have a chance to limit a Zach Edey, a Braden Smith to 30 minutes or less, you should absolutely do that. I felt like last year, the championship game, they looked really worn down against Penn State because they were trying to hold them off. It was the third game in 3 days. Then they had the short turnaround with the flight playing in New York after that. And they just looked out of gas. And so you already know you're going to be the number one seed in the Midwest. You already know that, you know, you're the Big Ten regular season champion again. If you win the tournament, that's great, but you clearly have bigger goals. Like, do not exhaust yourself trying to win this event.
Right, like, you can't go any higher. Like, you're already there. So if you lose, let's say they lose in the first round to Minnesota or MSU, they're still the number one seed in the Midwest. They're probably still going to be the number one overall seed. So to me, the only thing you can do is wear yourself down, is to put unnecessarily wear and tear on the tires. And you're right, like Zach Edey, I'd put him on a pitch count where you're only going to get 25 minutes. Like all those guys, you're right. I'm going to develop the bench. I'm going to say, bench, we're going to act like these guys are hurt. Can you – now, if the bench can win you the title, great. But I'm not going into this thing. I'm not playing my guys a ton of time. You're right. I'm going to give them as much time off. I'll start you. But I hope to God I don't have to play you. If we get into a tight game, we're going to see how we play without Zach, without all of those guys, and just kind of, you know, with Braden, like, was it Braden Smith? Yeah, just going to set you down. We'll let the bench play. We'll see what we got coming and down the pike, because with Matt Painter and Purdue, I mean, the knock is you are, you know, you're like how we used to view Gonzaga. Like, certain teams, like, you're good, but you can't make it to the Final Four.
Right.
And we already go through.
Yeah, and we saw on Sunday against Wisconsin, Zach Edey went down, you know, had an ankle issue for a little bit, was able to walk it off. Shortly after that, Braden Smith went down, had to go to the locker room, came back out. So you avoided two scares there. Like, don't keep tempting fate. Like, if there's a chance where, like you said, if it could be 25 minutes or fewer, like, do that. If you happen to win the tournament doing it that way, that's great. But your main thing is next Thursday, Friday in Indianapolis, and then the two rounds after that in Detroit. Like, that's your focus right now.
Right. Now, you're there in Minneapolis, right?
Yep.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Set the tone for me. What do you think it's going to be like there?
So I'd be surprised if there's much going on Wednesday in terms of the fan base there. I think Friday night could be really interesting. I'm curious to see how many people Nebraska bring. I think if Iowa winds up getting to Friday, I think that crowd could be interesting as well. Having Minnesota as the first game on Thursday, I'm curious to see how that fan base would be. I feel like they would have come out in droves if it was at night, but with it being 11 a.m., Central.
Well, it's funny.
Thursday. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off, but we were discussing that back at the station. Would that help Minnesota? Or would that actually help MSU plan that game? Because technically, Minnesota should have the home crowd there, but the game's at 11 Minnesota time, which means you got to take off work in order to go watch this game.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like MSU probably catches a little bit of a break there, because if that was a Thursday night game, if it was the 7-10 game or something like that, or the 6-11 game, I feel like Minnesota would absolutely pack the place with it being their first time hosting it and everything like that, and them having the season that they've had. But I just don't feel like they'll pack it for the first game of the day on the Thursday. Like you said, have to take off work. And I think that actually helps Michigan State.
Well, Michigan State needs all the help they can get, Harold. I think Lenardi has them as one of the teams that get a bye. They don't have to do the play-in game. I mean, tough loss to Indiana. Indiana Bigs scored 57 of the 65 points. See, I got stats, too. I mean, they couldn't stop Ware. They couldn't stop anybody down low. But on the flip side, Indiana couldn't stop the backcourt, and the backcourt scored 50 of the 64 points. If you're MSU, you lose at Indiana. You had a game that I think you started off as bad as you could start off. You then took a 7-point lead twice in the second half. I guess what's wrong with the Spartan team that they just can't seem to put together the pieces? And how critical is this game against Minnesota for their tournament hopes?
So what I found interesting, if you go back through and look at so many of their losses, they've been up in the second half and they just haven't been able to close games. And I think that's might be the most surprising thing of this whole season, is because you've had senior guards, sweat equity, you know, guys who have been in the big moments. You know, if you lose those as a sophomore, it's kind of like, okay, now I know what to do going forward. But it just seems like it's the same old story over and over and over again. You get late in games. They don't really run much. It's Tyson. Hopefully you can make a play. And on that last play where he had to shoot that balance, that off-balance leaner, Hogard was in the corner and then started just going baseline for whatever reason. So then his defender doesn't follow Hogard. So then he's there in front of Walker as he starts to drive, and there's no kick option because Hogard left the corner. So it's just little stuff like that where you're in these situations and you've been in these situations for years, and yet you still can't find ways to win these games. I mean, they're 2-7 in games decided by 6 points or fewer this year. And just imagine if you win half of those, you're looking at 21-10, probably a 6 or 7 seed. And you're talking about trying to make a run to the Sweet 16. And now 18-13, you know, 14 losses is the most the Big Ten at large team has ever had. And assuming they don't win the tournament, that's what it's going to be again. So, you know, just the fact that know, we're talking about needing to beat Minnesota just to feel good about making a tournament. Just kind of goes to show how this program has been this year.
And yeah, historically speaking, it reminds me a lot of the 2011 season, coming off of back-to-back Final Fours. They had high expectations. I think Lucas and Summers came back that year. Like, they were going to put it all together and really do something. And I think they finished the year off 19-14 and lose in the first round to UCLA. And it ended up being a close game at the end. But yeah, I think it was Memphis. I was at that game. But yeah, it was one of those. This is what this season reminds me of. High expectations. Can't get out the way, because I'll simply say this. To me, the one of the reasons why this team can't finish, it's like in baseball, you got to have a closer. In football, you need that Derrick Henry type of running back who could just take the game over at the end. MSU doesn't have a big man. They don't have a five. And you saw Indiana late in the game, stop shooting jumpers. We're going to dump it down low. We're going to take the high percentage 2-point. MSU can't do that. They can't get it out of Cooper. They can't get it out of Matty. They don't have anybody that can just dump it down. I mean, Malik wasn't going to be able to do it because the Indiana had their bigs were just too tall. So they were going to shut Malik down. But to me, that's been the problem why they can't close out, because in the end, if Tyson and AJ and Jay Nakins are missing jumpers, you can't go get the high percentage shot. You can't go get a dunk. You can't go get a lob. You can't get any of that. And that's why I think you fall short in so many different games. You're right. That's the difference between sitting there, you know, with like 21, 22 wins, but you couldn't get it done because all of a sudden Tyson Campbell hit that miracle shot. I mean, you're the stats guy, but the worst thing that can happen to MSU is when Tyson Walker scores 29 or more points. They have yet to win a game. It looks great for him. Oh, he's taking over. I remember when they played Zach Edey and Purdue last year, and Tyson had his career high. They lost. Like, every time he hits, 29 is a cutoff point. Like, he can't be that guy that leads the team. If he does, if I'm the other team, it's to the point, let Tyson shoot, because it means he doesn't trust his teammates. Their shots aren't falling. Speaking of which, I mean, I thought maybe Jay Nakin shot his way out of his slump, because he hit like 3 in a row, and then he went right back to the slump. I don't know what's going on with this team, but yeah, if this team has to face some bigs, I see a quick exit. I mean, that's why I've been saying I'm not so sure of how long they can be. But Harold, I will say this, losing to Indiana and struggling may have been a blessing in disguise, because they may have gotten bumped back to the 10 line, which takes you out of the 8-9 game, which means you have you're going to go up against a 7, which you're technically less than, but to me, 7-10 is like 8-9. It's pretty much the same. It's flipping a coin. It's who's wearing the darker jerseys. But you get to go up against a 2, not one of the 1 seeds that I think are just a whole lot better. Like, I can't see any 1 seeds getting upset in the first weekend, but you may be able to knock off a Marquette. And according to like Joe Lunardi, they may actually catch a double break, because they would play in Indianapolis and then have a shot, if they win, to play in Detroit as a 10 seed. It wouldn't be fair. A lot of people would be screaming up and down like, well, how did that happen? But it's possible, because you are struggling, that you may benefit from the struggle. That makes sense.
No, it does. And I think when you talk about the regions, I mean, 2014 UConn was a perfect example of that. They were a 7 seed, got to play in New York for the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, and they took the crowd over. Michigan State basically played a road game in Elite Eight, even though they were the higher seed. Like, sometimes it just works out that way. But you're absolutely right about Tyson Walker. He scored more than 25 points 6 times in an MSU uniform, and they've lost all 6.
Oh, so 25 is the cutoff point, not 20. See,
if he's over 25, then they've lost all 6 times.
Okay.
And, you know, you talk about the Iowa game last year where they had the big lead and gave it up. You know, the Purdue game, like you mentioned. You know, as we saw against Indiana, same thing. And it's really interesting. If you look at their offense the last 5 games in the half court, I mean, for most of the time, it's we're going to take it under 10 seconds and no one's moving. Okay, Tyson, you got the ball. Go make a play. And it's usually a contested shot. And I was looking it up coming into this. And so the last 10 seconds of the shot clock over the last five games, they are 18 of 60 on two-pointers. Not threes, on twos.
Wow.
So it's like, if you're shooting 30% on twos, like, that means you got issues all over the place. That means your spacing's bad. That means guys are afraid to shoot. That means guys are getting it in the wrong spots. And that just has happened too many different times. And in a lot of those situations, you get off to these really slow starts. You have to dig yourself all the way out of these holes, as we saw against Iowa, as we saw against Indiana, and, you know, Purdue even in the second half. Like, when they started playing well, when they were running and getting things early, and then it turned into a half-court slog, and we keep seeing the same thing over and over again. The good thing is Minnesota likes to get up and down a little bit. Their defense has been pretty leaky lately, so, you know, hopefully if you're a Michigan State guy, you can hope that you'll see some more transition offense.
Man, to me, I look at Michigan State, Minnesota, and they become the Spider-Man meme where they just kind of pointing at each other like,
yep,
you're the same team. I thought Minnesota would have the advantage, but you're right, the game being played so early, I think it may, you know what, for MSU, it may turn out to be an empty gym where it's almost like a practice. And maybe that's what they need, just something to kind of get right and see what happens. Now, before we get into the actual, getting your prediction for the tournament, Michigan's going to play Wednesday night. We're taping this on Wednesday, full disclosure. If Michigan is knocked out Wednesday night, does Juwan Howard keep his job? Or is Juwan Howard going to get fired? What's your prediction?
I feel like he's going to be back. I haven't heard anything differently. And it seems like Michigan legends go by a different criteria as opposed to just regular coaches. Because he played there and because he played on that team, that Fab Five team, I feel like there's a lot of leeway that is given there, kind of similar to Harbaugh. When he lost five straight to Ohio State, most coaches is like, all right, well, that's it, you're gone. But because he played there and was a legend there, he got a little bit more time to figure it out. And so I wouldn't be shocked at all if he was back for another year to try to see if he can right this ship just because of who he was as a player.
All right, now Big Ten tournament is going to take place. I guess, do you see a seed outside the double bye teams that could win this whole thing?
Win the whole thing?
Well, Big Ten tournament-wise, not right. National, yeah.
Yeah. So I like Ohio State to make a run. I feel like we saw it last year. Penn State is a 10 seed. They got the right draw, was able to get all the way to the championship game. Ohio State's a 10 now. They're 5-1 since Jake Bieber took over as the coach and beat some pretty good teams. Like, you know, they beat Purdue.
Can he get that job?
See, and that's what I want to know. If they finish the season 7-2, let's say they make the NCAA tournament, like, it's kind of hard not to give them the job, right? Like, I feel like Wisconsin was kind of similar in that, you know, Greg Gard was given the job and people didn't really like it, but then Greg Gard started winning and then they got to the tournament and eventually he won the Big Ten a year or two later. And it's like, well, we kind of have to keep the guy. So I'm just wondering, would Ohio State like to do that? I heard Deshaun Miller name thrown out there. He's already at Xavier. So would he try to, you know, come over to Ohio State? Is Ohio State interested in that? Seems like that would be a good hire. But if you got the guy already here, it seems like there's complete buy-in. I mean, they just completely flipped the switch. Their defense is so much better. Their offense, you know, they're getting up and down a lot more, scoring in transition. I really like the way they play. They've got a lot of talent on the team. It just seemed like it was untapped for whatever reason, but they're playing really well now. So I like them, and I wouldn't be shocked if Penn State won a couple games as the 11. You know, they've already beaten Michigan earlier this year. We've seen Michigan struggle in the second half of pretty much every game they've played. Then if they win that game, they would play Indiana, who they've already swept this season. Seems like a pretty good matchup for them.
See, I don't know. That's a different Indiana team, because Indiana and Ohio State were the two teams that I'm looking at. I don't know. It was almost like, okay, Indiana's going to keep the coach, and then they started winning. And then, you know, they lost out on a five-star recruit, which was weird. But they started winning, and it's just like, okay, maybe you keeping your coach helped out, and for Ohio State, you losing your coach helped out. Those are the two teams that I would say.
No, I could definitely see Indiana, that Indiana-Penn State winner doing something to get to Saturday. Like, that wouldn't shock me at all. Like you said, Indiana's playing their best basketball of the year. They really unlocked Khalil Ware. I mean, I think earlier in the season, Indiana fans that I knew were kind of, you know, saw him as a tease, where he wanted to float around the perimeter and shoot threes and be a guard instead of just being in the post and be dominant. But that's what he's been pretty much the last six, seven games. And as we saw against Michigan State, I mean.
Yeah, pretty much Mike Woodson said. Yeah, Mike Woodson, and this is where you eat, right here. Yep. Not out there, right here. Stay in a little semicircle. That's it. We're going to get you the ball. You're going to turn around. You're going to shoot. And you're right. He's flurried. I think if that Ware had played this season, I don't think Indiana's sitting there as, you know, what, an eight seed. Indiana may be vying for the double bye. So yep. Now I look at the double bye teams, Northwestern and Nebraska. These are two teams we normally see playing Wednesday night. They're not playing until Friday. Do you think either one of these teams, Northwestern or Nebraska, has enough run in them to win the whole thing, to win this Big Ten tournament?
To win the whole thing, I don't. I think the Northwestern injuries are going to come back to bite them. They already weren't deep to begin with. Boo Booey, Brooks Barnheiser, like, lead the conference in minutes as it is. And when Ty Berry went down, that kind of took away their best shooter. And Matthew Nicholson has missed time. You know, he's their big man. So you lose those two guys as starters. I feel like it's hard to win three games in 3 days with a pretty thin bench, and you don't have the shooters that you had before. So they've had to pretty much grind out every game outside of the Minnesota one. And I just feel like that's not really the recipe to win three games in 3 days, especially if Purdue is looking at you that Saturday. As for Nebraska, I'd be curious to see what Nebraska we get, because at Pinnacle Bank in Lincoln, they're top 10, top 15 team. Like, they win every game there. But
and they're like a kid playing in their backyard. They never miss.
They never miss, exactly. They went 10-0 at home in the league, and then they were 2-8 on the road. So, you know, they've only won three road games all year. Obviously, I know this is a neutral site, but I'll just be curious to see if that same offense travels up to Minneapolis.
So, I mean, it really boils down to, if I gave you the top four seeds or the field, which would you take to win the Big Ten?
Top four. I still would be really surprised if Purdue didn't win it. Now, that would kind of buck some history. There's only been three repeat champions. You know, the last one to do it was Michigan, 2017, 2018. So, there, it would be, I guess, somewhat surprising historically. But at the same time, we've also seen a team without a double bye make the final in three straight years, too. So
who do you think that team would be without the double bye?
Without the double bye, I'm leaning Ohio State. I really am. I really like the way they're playing right now. I like the draw. They're playing an Iowa team that's kind of struggling defensively. After that, you get Illinois. Who knows what you're going to get out of them? They only played once, and I was still – earlier in the season, as Ohio State was kind of in that tailspin. I feel like if you wind up getting them and you can slow them down a little bit, you can wind up winning that game. And then, as we said with Nebraska, who knows what Nebraska you're going to get. So I kind of like Ohio State's draw. But, of course, as I said, that they probably lose to Iowa on Thursday.
Illinois is the team that I'm looking at. I think Illinois will be the team that will end up cutting down the nets. They just, you know, with DeMask making the first team, I was a little shocked he made all Big Ten first team. But with Shannon, he's really, you know, he's come back from his suspension, and he is not really missed a beat. I think that if he didn't get suspended those games, I think maybe this Illinois team would be ranked a little bit higher in the national polls. But Illinois is that team. I think Purdue – I don't trust a team to go back to back. And I just don't. I think Purdue learned their lesson last year, where they fought tooth and nail to win the Big Ten and to win the Big Ten tournament. And then you lose in the first round. That taste has to be in Matt Painter's mouth. he's hoping to do what Virginia did when Virginia lost in the first round and bounced back and win it all. And nobody talks about that anymore. But for a year, everybody talked about it. And right now, nobody believes in Purdue. But Illinois is that team that if I had to put money down, I would say Illinois. Now, I really would say if it were, I think that I would probably go with one of the non-double bye teams to win it all. I like your Ohio State thing. I'm also looking at Indiana, but I picked Indiana a lot of times, and Indiana just, for some reason, I don't think they've ever won the Big Ten tournament.
No, they haven't.
Ever.
They've been in the final once.
Right. So it's like every year I fall for that. So, yeah, I would probably say Ohio State, hottest team right now. What shocked me, according to Las Vegas, you realize Michigan State has the fourth best odds.
I did see that. Which I thought was really weird, considering that even if they won Thursday, they get Purdue Friday. Like, if they were on the other side of the bracket, it would be like, okay, you know, if they were 7, yeah, I could see that. Maybe, you know, they already beat Illinois, you know, play Nebraska, sure. But the fact that if they beat Minnesota, they'd have to play Purdue, who they've had all kind of issues with, like, that was really surprising to see them that high up on the odds.
Yeah, but I guess maybe they're looking at it. Vegas is the same way we are, is how invested is Purdue in this tournament? So, because think about it. If Edie is on a pitch count, they can beat Purdue. Now, if Edie's sitting there for 38 minutes, you're not beating him. But if Edie, because, I mean, when you look when they play, when Edie sat down in that game at Mackey, all of a sudden MSU jumped back in and made it a game. Edie sat for like, I think, a minute and a half and was like, nope, get back in there, finish this thing out. So we will see. We'll see how this thing goes. You want to do a recap on Monday after the tournament brackets come out?
Sure. That works for me. I'm good with that.
All right. You going to be back home or you going to still be in Minneapolis?
No, I'll be back. I fly back Sunday morning to help out with all the selection show stuff back in the studio. So I'll miss the final, but I'll be gearing up to see where all the teams fall for the main tournament.
All right, let's do this. Let's reconvene on Monday. We'll know the brackets. Everything will be out. We'll know who's in, who's out. Big Ten, did they get 5, 6, 7 teams in? How many teams do you think they get in the tournament?
I feel like it'll still be 6. I thought Iowa had a chance, but them basically laying an egg against Illinois kind of took them out of it. I see them in some brackets is not even the first 4 out, but the next 4 out. So I feel like they probably got to win 2 games to try to get back on the right side of the bubble. So I'm going to go with just the 6 teams right now.
Unless Ohio State wins it all, and then they can't be 9.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
All right, Harold, appreciate your time. We'll be back after this dust has settled. Somebody cuts down the nets in Minneapolis, and then we'll preview the big tournament. But for Harold Sheldon, I'm Rico Beard. Thanks for watching the 5-Star Zone. Keep telling your friends, liking, and subscribing. We will be back next week, basketball fans. We're going to be talking to Big Dance. Harold, be safe. Enjoy yourself out there. Get one of them Juicy Lucy's or whatever they call them. And I'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Isaiah.